Yes, I have been using myself up rather too freely, he remarked in answer to my look rather than my words. I have been a little pressed of late. Have you any objection to my closing your shutters?
The only light in the room came from the lamp upon the table at which I had been reading. Holmes edged his way round the wall, and, flinging the shutters together, he bolted them securely. You are afraid of something? I asked.
Well, I am.
Of what?
Of air guns.
My dear Holmes, what do you mean?
I think that you know me well enough, Watson, to understand that I am by no means a nervous man. At the same time, it is stupidity rather than courage to refuse to recognize danger when it is close upon you. Might I trouble you for a match?
He drew in the smoke of his cigarette as if the soothing influence was grateful to him.
I must apologize for calling so late, said he. And I must further beg you to be so unconventional as to allow me to leave your house presently by scrambling over your back garden wall.
But what does it all mean? I asked. He held out his hand, and I saw in the light of the lamp that two of his knuckles were burst and bleeding.
It's not an airy nothing, you see, said he, smiling. On the contrary, it is solid enough for a man to break his hand over. Is Mrs. Watson in?
She's away upon a visit.
Indeed. You are alone.
Quite.
Then it makes it the easier for me to propose that you should come away with me for a week to the Continent.
Where?
Oh, anywhere. It's all the same to me.
There was something very strange in all this. It was not Holmes's nature to take an aimless holiday, and something about his pale, worn face told me that his nerves were at their highest tension. He saw the question in my eyes, and, putting his fingertips together and his elbows upon his knees, he explained the situation.
You have probably never heard of Professor Moriarty, said he.
Never.
Aye, there's the genius and the wonder of the thing, he cried. The man pervades London, and no one has heard of him. That's what puts him on a pinnacle in the records of crime. I tell you, Watson, in all seriousness, that if I could beat that man, if I could free society of him, I should feel that my own career had reached its summit, and I should be prepared to turn to some more placid line in life. Between ourselves, the recent cases in which I have been of assistance to the Royal Family of Scandinavia and to the French Republic have left me in such a position that I could continue to live in the quiet fashion which is most congenial to me, and to concentrate my attention upon my chemical researches. But I could not rest, Watson. I could not sit quiet in my chair if I thought that such a man as Professor Moriarty were walking the streets of London unchallenged.
What has he done, then?